What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander again. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Very good. This is a follow-up to last week, and there is this idea of, you know, what are the most important parts of brand strategy? What are the most important parts of identity that I get asked about often? And there's kind of these pillars, you know, the logo and the tagline are probably the pillars of an identity, right? The emotion is the pillar, is the most important part of the brand strategy. So today we're talking about taglines, and we talked about logos last week. Did you know that I have a sister? Did you know that she's my twin sister?
I did know that. I've met her a few times.
Oh, you did? When did you meet her?
Well, I met her, well, unfortunately, I met her at your mom's viewing last year. And then I feel like I met her one other time. I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay. So I get asked, it's really funny. I'll say, yeah, I've got a twin sister. And then how often this happens, it really amazes me. Someone will say, are you guys identical twins?
What?
No.
That's so hilarious.
So, isn't it funny? So the twin sister metaphor, I liken the tagline as the twin sibling of the logo. They're obviously not the same. They don't look alike. They don't feel like, but they're really, really powerfully tied to your brand. They're super, super important. It's critical that you have a tagline. All good companies have really, really well thought out, great taglines. Thank goodness it's a little simpler. But you know, I kind of like that twin sister metaphor, that the tagline is just as important as the logo. And a lot of people don't view it that way. And people who don't have taglines, they are either discounting the idea or they just don't understand the importance and the power of it. So we'd like to fix that today, teach people all about taglines. And, when you look at a really great brand, how often they put the tagline right next to the logo in the presentation, you know, that's where you see the twins standing next to each other and they hang out together and, you know, they compliment each other and they read each other's minds. And right. By the way, yes, that is true. My sister and I do read each other's minds.
that could be cool and that could be dangerous all at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. I can testify.
Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so for our listeners, we do have a reference sheet on our website that has lots of taglines listed. There's some old ones, some current ones, and you can find that at brandarchetypes.com/taglines.pdf. And the link for that is also in the show notes of this podcast. You don't need to open it to know what we're talking about today, but it might be something you want to take a look at later or reference while you're listening to us. But it's just a fun thing to look at all the different taglines that are out there.
Yeah, it's enlightening. When you look at the list, while you are listening to or have just learned about all of these rules and ideas about taglines, you'll definitely see the patterns and you'll definitely be able to pick out the good ones and the ones that are, you know, not quite as good, but they still are very powerful and are strong taglines, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we've got some lingo, just like we had lots of lingo with the logo, we have lingo with the taglines. And this is not as hard and fast and as widely used as the lingo for logos. Like, almost everybody in the world as a designer knows about logo type, you know, and talking about the graphics inside of an icon. And not everybody talks about signatures like we talked about last week. But these words and ideas are super important to understanding why taglines work and what makes a good tagline. So the most important thing about a tagline is its velocity. And just the word velocity, you know, you get this impression of speed and, you know, it's a super energetic, right? Well, if a tagline has high velocity, it's because of two different attributes. The attribute of how much brand is in it and the attribute of how many words and syllables are in it. So what we're looking for to get high velocity is very few words, more specifically syllables, better yet, even letters, right? So the tighter it is, the better. And we want lots of brand, huge amounts of brand. Notice that I'm not saying anything about the product, the service, the company, the industry, you know, what they do, how they do it. And we're not talking about the company. We're talking about the brand. So let's give the obvious example that we've been using for all of our podcasts so far. Let's talk about Nike. Just do it. I think Nike's tagline, Just Do It, is arguably the strongest tagline in the world. Eight letters, three words, three syllables, and think about what the brand that is infused. Just do it, right? It's this call to action. It has everything to do about energy and vigor and heroic achievement. It has nothing to do with shoes. And yet it's just oozing with heroic brand archetype stuff, right?
Yep. And, you know, we were talking about this before the show. It also, I think about an athlete or somebody maybe not so athletic, just sitting on their couch thinking, you know, I really need to get up or I really need to get in shape or do this thing. And it's like, just do it. Like you said, it's a call to action. Just put those shoes on and do it.
Right. And how much more powerful is their brand with that tagline as a hook, as a tool?
It adds a lot to it. And
it really
that's one of the things that people might be missing when they don't have a tagline is that they're just missing out on that extra chance to solidify their brand to make it that much more powerful.
And on the flip side of that point, people who feel compelled to create taglines that talk about their product or their service or the company, they're really creating a slogan. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But It misses the opportunity to reinforce the brand strategy.
Right.
Right.
So one of the other things that's important, I think, with taglines or really any kind of words that you use for your company is that it needs to kind of flow off the tongue and be easy to say and memorable, things like that. So for some examples, I mean, Just Do It is pretty easy to say. The tagline for my company is Words Matter, short, easy to say. You know, some other things are like alliteration you can use, like do the do. It's pretty easy to say. Yeah, that's a good one. And then there's always like got milk. That's easy to say. We're going to talk about that one a little bit later for some other reasons. But it shouldn't be a tongue twister necessarily. It shouldn't be hard to say. It just should kind of flow off the tongue and be memorable that way.
Right. This is a classic example of working with a client and them coming to the realization that they've made a mistake with their tagline. And it always happens when I say, okay, do you have a tagline? And go, yeah. You know, what is it? And then they do this long pause and they'll go, I think it's blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You think it's blah, blah, blah?
Right.
Wow. If you can't remember your own tagline, how can you possibly expect your customers to remember your tagline?
Yeah. Right. Either that or they're just not using it in the right way or often enough for it to stick. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, in a lot of cases, when I ask that question and they don't remember it, it's because it's just so long. And what they've done is they've created a slogan. Right?
Yeah. Or a mission statement.
Yeah. Mission statement or a memory hook.
Right. So besides things flowing off the tongue and being easy to say, there are some other things that you have to consider with your slogan. Subtle things that might change the nuance or the brand. You want to talk about that, Kevin?
Yeah, sure. So when we go through a logo design process, there are drafts that happen, and we can take an approach, and then if the client doesn't like the approach, we can kind of veer in one direction or another. We can enhance this component, or we can eliminate this part, or swap things out. There's a lot of flexibility in working with a logo to get from the beginning until the end decision where you have a final logo. Taglines aren't like that. Taglines, either they work or they don't. And there's not a lot that you can do to them to tweak them. So it's really more of list making and trying to find the word combinations. But there are subtle things that can that you can do to a tagline that really dramatically change the meaning and how it's read and how it's used. So, you know, let's take something really simple like adding an exclamation point. You know, there's a lot more energy that comes off of a tagline with an exclamation point. Instead of pizza, pizza, if it was pizza, pizza. You know,
very
there's
different.
There is the exclamation points, right?
Right.
Changing the word order can subtly change the meaning. Swapping out one word, you know, pull out your thesaurus and swapping one word out for a one of a similar meaning can dramatically change the feel, the flow, the nuance. You know, it's there's another approach. You know, taking a word like pizza, pizza, and, you know, doubling it up like that. Their tagline isn't pizza, it's pizza, pizza. Or, you know, there's other doubled up ones here. Zoom, zoom, right? Yeah.
Mazda.
Yeah. Zoom, zoom, right? So adding a period, putting instead of a comma, putting an M dash or an ellipsis, a hyphen, you know, whether words are capitalized, having three words in a row, and instead of having the three words be standalone or having commas, you put periods at the end of each word, which makes them each stand out alone. And it has a completely different feel when you do things like that. So consider those subtle changes. And when you look at the list, you'll see that there are versions of taglines in our list that actually do those things. Right.
Right. So another thing that I find really interesting, because I'm a word girl, are the like applied meanings and taglines. You touched on this earlier when you said that taglines don't necessarily talk about the actual product or the industry. Sometimes they do, and they can still work that way. Like we said, like Nike Just Do It doesn't talk about shoes. So there's a lot of implied meaning that can really add to your brand. A couple examples that aren't implied meaning, they're very direct, would be like got milk. It's got the product right in there. It's a question. But one of the reasons that it works is because it's written improperly. It's not a perfect sentence, which makes it's not a sentence at all, actually. And that makes it eye-catching and cute, even though it's very direct.
And super high velocity.
Right.
You know, two syllables.
Yeah. Right? Got milk. Another really obvious one is Foster's, which is their tagline is Australian for beer. Australian beer. It's pretty obvious. But it works, and they use it correctly in their tagline, so that's okay. We talked about Just Do It. Playtex, Wonder Bra. This is a fun one. I like this one. Their tagline is "Hello, boys."
And you have to say it like that, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to say "Hello, boys."
Yeah.
Hello, boys.
Right. I'm Loving It, which is McDonald's. A lot of people are really familiar with that one. It has a couple meanings, though. The more obvious one is "I'm loving it," like you just like the food. And the other
but that's not really true, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, not for me, but it's okay. But the implied meaning there is that McDonald's' archetype is the innocent, which means it's just easy and safe and predictable. And every time you go in there, the food's going to be exactly the same. And like for moms or families, they know that every time they go in there, the chicken nuggets are going to taste the same. They might have a playground for their kids to play on. It's going to be clean.
And the kids are occupied.
Yeah, they're occupied. And so I'm loving it. Like, this is easy. And that's another subtler implied meaning for that. And then you have a favorite tagline that changed recently. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. It wasn't recently, but Dodge Ram, it was like, I think it was like 10 years ago. It's been a while, but Dodge Ram, the Ram trucks had a tagline, "Grab life by the horns." Now, if you take a look at our list of taglines, almost all of them are just a couple of words, two or three words long. Some are four. And in consulting with clients, I always let them know, when you start getting out to four and five words, you start really dramatically losing velocity. Six, seven words, they're no longer taglines. They're slogans. They're really hard to remember. They've completely lost all velocity. But "Grab life by the horns," it's so energetic, and it has that implied meaning of horns, you know, the Dodge Ram, right, in their logo. So I found that they changed their logo years ago, and I actually love the new one, Grab Life.
Tagline.
They just tagline. They shortened it, and they took off by the horns. Now, they took off the implied meaning, but they gained so much velocity, and the essence of the tagline stayed the same. So it went from Grab Life by the horns to Grab Life, which is much more of an imperative. It's a command. It's a super energetic, I'd classify them as an explorer brand, and I think grabbing life is definitely something that an explorer brand should do.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd like to throw one in. I had a tagline challenge that I put out to my own team. This is 20 years ago, probably 18 years ago. My previous agency was called Acorn Creative, and we were a jester archetype, so not the fun, family fun kind of jester. We were the brash, bold, over-the-top, crazy, kind of wacky kind of jester. And I wanted to have our team create a tagline, and it only took 3.5 months, just to let you know, 3.5 months of professional writers and brand strategists trying to agonize through the process of coming up with a great tagline. And my goal for them was beat Nike. Fewer words, fewer syllables, fewer letters, and just as much brand. But it's got to be jester brand, not hero brand, right? And so the implied meaning, and this is why I brought it up here, the tagline was go nuts. And then because the company name was Acorn Creative, we have the word nuts in there. There's the kind of implied meaning to our company name. But go nuts with an exclamation point, 2 syllables, 6 letters. We beat Nike, and as soon as we came up with that, it just jumped off the page and screamed, "Here I am! Here, this is what we're going to use." And so I think that was the most successful tagline that we've created, and it was for ourselves. And like I said, it was not an easy process. It was months.
Right. You bring up a good point. It was a team effort. It took months, lots of writing. So, you know.
Oh, thousands of variations and words and ideas.
Right.
And, our content creator at the time was just going crazy because she was just putting in so much time into this and was frustrated that we weren't agreeing with things that she thought were really, really good. And they were. They were good. They were very good. I was just had a really high standard for where we needed to land, and we achieved it, I think.
Kevin, was she going nuts?
She was. Ouch.
But for our listeners, for our listeners out there that are working on your tagline or want to create a new one, just, you know, be easy on yourself. Know that it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, you might wake up in the middle of the night with an aha moment and write it down, but most likely it's going to take a while and it's going to take a strategy and
right. You know, don't settle.
Yeah. Don't settle. That's absolutely right. And you can change it, you know, as we're going to talk about another company who changes their tagline often. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you know, just know that it's a process like everything else.
Right.
So we just talked about, Dodge, who changed a longer tagline into a shorter one. So let's talk about some taglines that are just one word. And,
you know, that's,
and why they work or not work.
Yeah, and that seems like that should be the goal, right? If we have velocity of trying to reduce number of syllables and reduce letters, well, heck, what if I just come up with a one-syllable word? That's the ultimate velocity, right? Well, no. And the reason is, and it might not be obvious unless you think about it, and I'll present it to you and I'll let you think about it a little bit. If I take a one-word tagline, like Hewlett-Packard has a tagline of invent, what's the subtle meaning? What's the implied meaning? Is there any kind of a hook? What is the emotion behind the word invent? And what you find is one word taglines lose a lot of that. There are really powerful branded words, as you know, we'll talk about when we talk about word lists. There are words that are just ooze with brand, but one word compared to two words sitting side by side, when you add two words together, they kind of mash together and they create a new meaning that didn't exist before, that there's subtlety and nuance and a deeper meaning that underlies the combination that doesn't underlie either of the two words individually. So you lose that with one-word taglines. So other ones like IBM Think or United Airlines has the tagline Rise.
See, in that instance, I like that. I like Rise with United Airlines because of the airline industry, and that I think works better than maybe just invent or think.
And because it has the much more successful implied meaning of an airplane rising and the success of the company rising, or higher standards,
right.
We're exploring the world and rising to a new level. So there's just the word rise is why it succeeds, but the word invent isn't. Yeah, right. And think, if you're going to try to be a sage archetype, you know, guru archetype, think would be good. But again, it just loses a lot, you know. So let's compare IBM Think with the outlaw or rebel archetype of Apple, Think Different.
Right. See, right? Think Different is so much more powerful than just
right.
Think.
Exactly.
Yeah, good example.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, so if you're going to be a rebel, should you say Think Differently, which is grammatically correct?
Right.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm a rebel. I'm going to say Think.
Right.
Think Different.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I think probably the most grief that people have, and when we talked about logos and names and stuff, we talked about lingo, right? Some people call taglines slogans, and some people call slogans taglines. And so let's clarify. We refer to taglines as that short, tight, really powerful, high-velocity phrase that usually sits next to the logo, right?
And doesn't change often, usually.
It doesn't change often, usually.
Or at all.
Or at all, yeah. Right? It could be decades where it doesn't change. And it becomes a tool for the company to express their brand, right? A slogan, and this is, you know, the people use these two words interchangeably, but how we use the word slogan. And with me being a master of tangents, I don't know if you've ever heard of the actual origin of the word slogan. Do you know, have you heard about where the word slogan comes from?
No, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's a Gaelic for a war cry. So it's slogan or something like that. I forget how it's pronounced, but, you know, if you picture Mel Gibson riding on his horse and working up the warriors in the movie Braveheart, you know,
right.
he would be screaming his slogan, right?
Yeah,
so
I like that.
It's a slogan, how we use that word, is the more descriptive, much more in talking about the product, the service, or the company.
Right. Longer.
It's longer. It's more, you know, so there's more words, more syllables, more information. And when people write taglines, because they don't understand the difference between these two, and because of how very difficult it is to create a short, tight, high-velocity tagline, they usually end up writing slogans. And so one of the strong suggestions that we make with when we guide clients through the creation of a tagline is you write down everything, because what happens at the end of the day when you pick your tagline, you have pages and pages of other words and phrases that are really awesome words and phrases to use in your marketing, and some of them are going to make really great slogans. And so the slogan would be used like in a marketing campaign or on an advertisement or on a banner ad, where it is descriptive of something that you want people to think about, your product or your service or your company, right?
Right, makes sense.
But it's just not usable. It doesn't have enough velocity to be a really great tagline, right? So keep all those scraps of paper when you're done, right?
Right.
Right.
So talking about the difference between slogans and taglines, let's talk about the company Coca-Cola. So they are one of the only companies, or the only company, that tends to change their tagline or slogan every couple years or every year, or some years they've had two or three taglines.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. So like in, and also for those listeners that the sheet that we referenced earlier, there is a whole page of all the slogans and taglines that Coke has used over the years. It's kind of fascinating.
Going all the way back to 1886.
Yeah. So Coke is the innocent brand. You know, talking about going back to a simpler time, sharing Coke with a friend, that kind of thing. So in 1922, they actually had three taglines. They had quenching thirst everywhere, thirst knows no season, which didn't really roll off the tongue very easily, and thirst can't be denied.
And notice how these are very slogan-like. They're not as good.
Right.
But, you know, we're talking about the world of identity and brand strategy didn't even exist back then. Agencies were just really starting back in the early 1900s. So it wasn't until the explosion in the 50s that agencies actually started becoming a powerful force in business development.
Right.
But compare this to some of those taglines later on the list.
Yeah, so like in 2010, keeping in mind that they're the innocent brand, they had two again in 2010. They used twist the cap to refreshment. Meh. Not really great as far as the tagline goes. Isn't really powerfully branded. But then the second one that they used that year was live positively. And so they kind of got away from the whole quenching and thirsting and drinking and refreshment that they had been using, and they just went really tight on their brand, Live Positively, which is very on brand with the innocent.
Yeah, 1996, they used a one-word tagline, Enjoy. I thought that's fascinating.
Yes, because the innocent is all about enjoying life, simpler times, being a kid. That's perfect.
Right. And so as you go through the list and the ones that really pop out, you know, the 70s, it's the real thing. And Coke is it. And you can just go through the list and the ones that you recognize. And when I say Coke is it, you know, I've got visions of, you know, being in high school and you know, early college. And it just it evokes memory because of how you felt when you were using that product at that time of your life. And because it changes over time, Coke is really unique. I love the fact that they do this. I don't know if I would want to do this as my own strategy.
It's so much work.
It's a lot of work. And I think there's not a danger. I wouldn't say danger, but you could be perceived as flip-flopping a lot, you know, where you're, if you don't stay true to the brand itself, and there's definitely things on this list that definitely veer away from the brand, like you talked about. But, you know, Have a Coke and a Smile, 1979. That's an awesome one.
It is.
And then, you know, there are ones that were from the early 1900s that they revived. That's also fascinating to see things that that reappeared. Like, let me find one here. 1970, It's a Real Thing. Everybody knows that one, right?
Yeah.
From who lived through the 70s. That came from 1943. It's the Real Thing. They just recycled it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, because this is kind of their thing, people expect it and look for it and things like that, and it works for them. But we're not suggesting that everybody go out there and start doing this, because getting the first tagline nailed down is painful enough.
Right.
So, yeah, creating your tagline takes time. So at the time that we're recording this right now, not sure when the listeners are going to stumble across this actual podcast, but at the time, this is about our fifth or sixth episode that we've recorded, and we're still working on our tagline for brand archetypes. We're still going through the process. We haven't nailed it down. We know we're going to come up with something good, but we're not rushing it.
No pressure on the word girl.
Yeah, right? No, I'm working on it. I promise, guys. I will take, you know, I'll take anybody's ideas or anything like that, too. So
if you go to the Brand Archetypes website and you find a tagline, then it's past this point and we succeeded. Let us know what you think of it. I'm really looking forward to talking about it and discussing the benefits. And we are an explorer archetype, so it's all about experiencing new things and learning new things and forcing yourself to go down scary new paths that you might not feel comfortable with, but
discovering your archetype.
Discovering your archetype. And this is going to be unique to this path is going to be unique to you, and you should feel special in the process. And that's how we want you to feel, that we're guiding you and teaching you things that you would have never have learned from other people in quite the same way. And we want our tagline to evoke all of those ideas, not say them explicitly, because you can't do that in six or eight letters or a couple of syllables, but that's our goal. So test us, let us know what you think once we create it. And if you guys don't see a tagline on the website, we're obviously still working on it, and you can throw some ideas our way if you want to. I would love to see that.
Absolutely. We're always looking for more information and ideas from everybody, especially, you know.
Learning, yeah.
And if you're having trouble with your own tagline for your business, give us a call or drop us a line, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it and brainstorm and put our hive mind together for that. So it takes a village to come up with this stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So again, the taglines.pdf document is on our website. It's at brandarchetypes.com/taglines.pdf. You'll get a lot of ideas there. So if you don't have a tagline, take a look at the list, consider all the things that we've said, and just take a stab at it. Start coming up with word combinations to see if you can come up with one for your company that just oozes your brand strategy that you picked after taking the questionnaire, and one that has super high velocity and has implied meaning and all this good stuff that we've been talking about today.
Yep.
So good luck with that.
Yep. And all the links are there in our show notes.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time today, Amy. As expected, I enjoyed this one because it's one of those foundation ideas. And now that we've knocked out these foundational ideas, I guess we're going to now start diving into the details, get into the weeds of brand strategy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about each individual archetype, the 12 main ones and the sub-archetypes and things like that. So going forward, you know, look for that, especially if there's particular archetypes that you're really interested in learning more about. We're going to have episodes on each individual one and different parts of those archetypes. So we're looking forward to that. I'm excited to dive into that.
Excellent. Thanks, Amy.
Yep.
Appreciate your time today.
You too, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.